From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. There is no light in the planet but that which proceedeth from the sun, and there is no true love to Jesus in the heart but that which cometh from the Lord Jesus Himself. From this overflowing fountain of the infinite love of God, all our love to God must spring. This must ever be a great and certain truth, that we love Him for no other reason than because He first loved us. Our love to Him is the fair offspring of His love to us. Cold admiration when studying the works of God anyone may have, but the warmth of love can only be kindled in the heart by God's Spirit. How great the wonder that such as we should ever have been brought to love Jesus at all! How marvelous that when we had rebelled against Him, He should, by a display of such amazing love, seek to draw us back. No, never should we have had a grain of love towards God, unless it had been sown in us by the sweet seed of His love to us. Love, then, has for its parent the love of God shed abroad in the heart. But after it is thus divinely born, it must be divinely nourished. Love is an exotic. It is not a plant which will flourish naturally in human soil. It must be watered from above. Love to Jesus is a flower of a delicate nature, and if it received no nourishment but that which could be drawn from the rock of our hearts, it would soon wither. As love comes from heaven, so it must feed on heavenly bread. It cannot exist in the wilderness unless it be fed by manna from on high. Love must feed on love. The very soul and life of our love to God is His love to us. I love Thee, Lord, but with no love of mine, for I have none to give. I love Thee, Lord, but all the love is Thine, for by Thy love I live. I am as nothing, and rejoice to be emptied and lost and swallowed up in Thee.
My heart shall feel, and faith is such confiding for
If you have been blessed by the dutiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tamassian returns to the subject of relationships within the body of Christ, particularly among believers in a local church. Paul has already reminded the Thessalonian Christians of the Lord's command to love one another. In the previous message, Pastor Tamassian emphasized that believers are taught of God in regard to their treatment of one another, especially in the area of disagreements and the need to resolve issues. In chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the apostle exhorts individual Christians to be quiet and to do their own business. Believers in Christ are to know their own business and not become involved in things that don't concern them. Now, here is Pastor Tamassian to introduce this message, Promoting and Preserving Brotherly Love.
We come again to our study and continue. We're going to read from verse 9, that verse through verse 12. Our focus this morning is verses 11 and 12 that follow on from what we looked at last Lord's Day. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Amen. It is impossible, beloved, to overstate the importance of love in the Christian life. I made mention of that somewhat last Lord's Day with relation to, if we were to summarize the Christian life and the Lord's expectation of his people, how would we summarize it but in the word love? The Lord expects us to manifest that, to have a focus upon it. I did not read 1 Corinthians 13 with you last Lord's Day, but I'll read some verses to you now where the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. As we looked at verses 9 and 10, I endeavored to leave before you the vital aspect of our lives that relates to loving our brethren. And this cannot be overstated. As I say, love in any form cannot be overstated, as long as we stay true to a proper understanding of what love is. But here in verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul deals with a matter that obviously was an issue in the church. There was a problem. The church was struggling to manifest love toward one another. They were not struggling to show this to others. They were not struggling to show it to other churches and congregations that were springing up. They were loving them, helping them, supporting them, as verse 10 tells us. But they needed help within their own context. And the apostle writes, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. You don't need me to elaborate on this. You don't need me to develop this aspect, this subject, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And I reminded you of the fact that if we have the Spirit of God, if we truly belong to the Lord, then the Spirit that is within us will compel us to love the brethren. It will not be an option. It will be something that will be manifest within every child of God. They will love the brethren. Not to say we won't struggle sometimes, not to say it may be more difficult at some occasions, on some occasions, but at the same time, there will always be this sense of responsibility and calling to love the brethren. And if we don't, well, I'll not go over last week's message, but it is a very solemn thing to not love the brethren. And the Lord wants us to love. He wants us to love in ways that are difficult. We know that He calls us to love our enemies, Matthew chapter 5. He expects us to manifest the character of our God, the one who sends the rain upon the just and on the unjust. And He expects us then to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And that's why we're called then to love your enemies. But while that is a high standard, to love our enemies, to love those that are at odds with us, to love those that oppose the gospel that we treasure, how much higher are we called to love those that are the Lord's people? And there is a difference. There is a difference. Because the Spirit of God abides and dwells within every genuine child of God, there is something in me and something in them that ought not to be in conflict. They have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God. We are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore there is a pulling together that cannot be ignored, and a love that should be manifested that far exceeds any other love in relation to our fellow men. To love those that profess and know Christ, to love them as Christ has loved us. This is the calling. And to find difficulty in this church that was renowned for its love and for its zeal and for its passion and for its labor, yet it's not surprising that they had some struggle with this particular aspect, because it's not a new thing for Christians to struggle to love one another in the way that they ought. And so, having dealt with brotherly love broadly, having looked at it in its general sense in verses 9 and 10, we come into verses 11 and 12, where Paul develops this and gives us help in how to love one another in the fashion that is expressed to us in the Word of God. I mean, you think about what Paul says about love, and we can give everything we have to feed the poor. We can give our bodies in martyrdom. If we don't have love, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one iota. And love suffers long. I mean, you think about this. If we are to express this anywhere, it must be to the Lord's people. My love must suffer long. It must be kind. It must not envy. It must not vaunt itself up and be puffed up. It shouldn't behave itself unseemly or in a way that is uncharacteristic of the Christian. It shouldn't be seeking her own. It shouldn't be easily provoked. It shouldn't think any evil. My, what a difference it would be if Christians consistently lived out the plain expressions of the Word of God. That we would not rejoice in iniquity, but only rejoice in the truth. and that we would bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things, especially among the body of Christ. Our points here this morning in verses 11 and 12, they all really begin with the words, that ye, look at it, verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. We broke up the text in that way as we consider this morning promoting and preserving brotherly love. Promoting and preserving brotherly love, because these verses are not out of context of what we dealt with last Lord's Day. So let us keep then this subject in mind as we progress and see, first of all, there must be a required ambition. There must be a required ambition. Look at verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. It states here this ambition that we are to have, that we study to be quiet. The word study really means to be ambitious, to have a sense of striving earnestly and laboring. There's an ambition here that's within the heart of the individual that is endeavoring to do what the Apostle Paul commands, that you study, that you be ambitious, that you aim towards this, that this is your goal, that you're called to make it your aim, your study, your labor, to be quiet. The word quiet just means to rest or be silent or to cease. And so we are to make our ambition, our goal, to be quiet, to rest. Now what has that got to do with brotherly love? Well, John Gill tells us, that Baptist preacher of a bygone era, he says about dealing with the calling that is upon believers here, quote, to live peaceably, this is Christians, are to live peaceably in their own families and give no disturbance to other families by tale-bearing, whispering, and backbiting. He goes on to say, and not to create and encourage factions, divisions, animosities, and contentions in their own church or in any of the churches of Christ. Now, the believer then is called, rather than to be causing trouble, to be bringing peace. And he is to make it his ambition to spread and establish peace within his own realm, his own heart, and within the community in which he exists. This could even go on beyond the church into the community itself, that the believer is called to study, make it his ambition to be quiet, to cease, to rest, rather than to strive and to stir up trouble. This is to be our study. This is to be our ambition. So this is the ambition stated plainly, that you study to be quiet. But then we have the ambition aided. We are helped in a certain way by what Paul says, and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Here Paul gives advice to aid the goal of quietness within the body of Christ. Do your own business. Or we might say, mind your own business. That we mind our own business, that we give focus to our own affairs. The Jews refer to it as derech eretz, which means the way of life. And the way of life is the way one should live, the character of the individual. And he is to focus upon his own affairs. And this is what Paul is calling the Christian to do. To do your own business, to focus on your own affairs and to work with your own hands. It's a limitation, essentially. It's limiting what we give ourselves to do. That we are to focus upon our own business. That is my priority. And I am to furthermore understand what is my business, and what is my business doesn't belong to someone else and isn't to become someone else's business. Now I know, let me just say in case I'm misunderstood, I know there are things we are to share and we are to, as Paul tells us in Galatians, to bear one another's burdens. I understand that. There is a sharing that is involved. But there are things that we ought not to share. There are things that relate to our own business. And we could do far more damage than help by letting people know or spreading the matter, whatever it might be. And so we focus upon our own business. We give ourselves to our own affairs. This is to be our focus and attention. But But this also relates to others. We are not to meddle in the affairs of other people. So the question may be asked, well, what if someone needs my help? What if they need my help? Well, if you understand that it is your help that they need, not someone else's help, then go ahead. Go ahead, get involved. But remember the context. The context here is about preserving love among the brethren. And there are matters at times that we are not to get involved in because it will not preserve love among the brethren. It will destroy love among the brethren. And there are things that we need to understand that's simply not my business. It's not my realm. It's not my territory. It's not for me to meddle in or get involved with. It's just not my responsibility. We had a great illustration of this yesterday when we were at the seniors' home, at the residential home just on the other side of the Haywood Road. And we were waiting for some of the seniors to gather. And this gentleman came down the hallway and just right in front of me, he stumbled and fell onto the ground. And I got down and I held his hand, and as I was holding his hand and he was starting to pull like he wanted me to pull up, and our sister Carrie just said, no, you stay where you are, we'll get someone to come and help. And that's the right advice. You don't pick someone up. You don't, if a senior falls down in that context, it's not my business to lift them up. It's the business of a staff member to do that. And so I just sat there beside him, trying to keep him calm, and held his hand, waiting for a staff member to come and to do their business, not my business. But this happens, and we have these scenarios within the body of Christ at times where matters arise, where things can arise within the body of Christ, and people think it's their business and it's not. There are reasons why there's structure within the body of Christ and within the world at large. There's a reason why we're not all politicians. The politicians have their business to deal with, and we elect them to deal with that business, and we hope that they deal with it in the right fashion, but that becomes their business, not really our business in the day-to-day affairs of things. It's the same within the workplace. You don't go into your boss, the one who employs you, and get meddle with how he's spending his money, telling him what machines he should buy or what staff he should hire. That's not your business. That's his business, or the hiring department of the firm. It's not your business. And it's the same within the family. There are matters sometimes of discipline within the family, and those of us with families know that sometimes a sibling will get involved, especially an older sibling, and begin to, you know, speak their mind, what should happen to the other sibling, or even themselves begin to reprimand verbally the other sibling when they haven't been given the responsibility. And sometimes we come into it and we have to reprimand both. Look, this is none of your business, and let me handle it. And it's the same within the body of Christ. We have elders. Elders are there to handle certain business of the church. And whenever it spreads beyond, when there's responsibility that is specific to their duty, their job before God, and others begin to meddle, it doesn't create harmony, it creates disharmony. It begins to split the body of Christ, divide the people of God, and cause the kind of disharmony that evidently was going on here in this congregation in Thessalonica.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.